Scylla and Charybdis. From the flowing waters of the river of Ocean, my ship passed into the wide spaces of the open sea, and so reached the island of Aeir, where ever fresh dawn has her home and her dancing dawns, and where the sun rises. Here we beached the ship on the sands and climbed out onto the shore, where we fell into a sound sleep, awaiting the coming of Ethel your daughter. As soon as she appeared, fresh and rosy-fingered, I sent off a party to Circe's house to fetch the dead body of Elpidon. We quickly chopped some logs, and then, with the tears streaming down our cheeks, performed the funeral rites on the summit of the boldest headland of the coast. When the corpse was burned, and with it the dead man's armor, we built him a barrow, pulled up a stone for a monument, and planted his shapely orb on the top of the mound. When we had completed each of these rites, Circe became aware of our return from Hades, adorned herself, and came hurrying up with handmaidens laden with bread and a plentiful supply of meat and sparkling red wine. "What audacity," said the glorious goddess as we gathered around her, "to descend alive into the house of Hades. Other men die once, you will now die twice. But come, spend the rest of the day here, enjoying this food and wine, and at daybreak tomorrow you shall sail. I myself will give you your route and make everything clear to save you from the disasters you may suffer as a result of evil scheming on land or sea." We were not difficult to persuade, so the whole day, long till sunset, we sat and feasted on our rich supply of meat and mellow wine. When the sun sank and darkness fell, my men settled down for the night by the ships. But Circe took me by the hand, led me away from my good comrades, and made me sit down and tell her everything as she lay beside me. When I had given her the whole tale, from first to last, the Lady Circe said, "Very well, all that is done with now, but listen to my words, and some god will recall them to your mind. Your next encounter will be with the Sirens, who bewitch everyone who approaches them. There is no homecoming for the man who draws near them unawares, and hears the Sirens' voices. No welcome from his wife, no little children ripening at their father's return. For with their high, clear song, the Sirens bewitch him as they stare in a meadow piled high, the mouldering skeletons of men whose withered skin still hangs upon their bones. Drive your ship past the spot, and to prevent any of your crew from hearing, soften some beeswax and plug their ears with it. But if you wish to listen yourself, make them bind your hand and foot on board and place you upright by the housing of the mouse. With the rope's ends lashed to the mast itself, this will allow you to listen with the enjoyment of the Sirens' voices. But if you beg and command your men to release you, they must add to the bonds that already hold you fast. When your crew have carried you past the Sirens, two routes will be open to you, though I cannot give you precise advice. You must choose for yourself. I will tell you about both. One leads to the sheer cliffs, which the blessed gods know as the Wandering Rocks. Here, blue-eyed Amphitrite sends her great beakers thundering in, and the very birds cannot fly by in safety. Even the shy doves that bring ambrosia to bar the Zeus, even of them the smooth rock will always take off, and the father has to send one more to make their number up. For any sailors who bring their ship to the spot, there is no escape whatever. they end as a flotsam on the sea, timbers and corpses tossed in confusion by the waves or nicked up by the tempest and destroying flames. Of all ships that go down to the sea, only one has made the passage, and that was the celebrated Argo, homeward bound for the Aegean coast, and the waves would soon have dashed her upon those mighty crags if Hera, for love of Jason, had not helped her path.